Good morning, everybody. You're listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF. Kyle High in studio this morning with you. And it's now time for Green Side Up. And in studio with us this morning, we have a David Scrantz and James Coover. Guys, how are you doing this morning?
Pretty good.
Good.
So it's hump day. So we're finally halfway there on the week, getting to the weekend. And David, we'll go ahead and start with you. And there's a couple of burn workshop you wanted to talk about and a few other things.
Yes, so we will be hosting a burn workshop in partnership with the Wilson County Conservation District on Thursday, March 5th. It will be from 11:30 to 3:30, and we'll start with registration and lunch at 11:30. It will be at the Wilson County Old Iron Club in Fredonia, and we have a lot of great guest speakers coming in. We have guest speakers from the Great Plains Fire Science Exchange, Fredonia NRCS, KSU Extension, Wilson County Rural Fire, the National Weather Service, the Kansas Department of Wildlife and Parks, and then we'll also finish up the workshop with a panel discussion of landowners who are experienced using controlled burns as a pasture management tool. And the topics we'll be covering will range from prescribed fire associations, fire behavior, prescribed fire planning, conservation planning and prescribed fire, benefits to grazing of patch burning and growing season burns, fire safety and procedure for burning, watching the weather and planning for it for controlled burns, and fire as a land management tool. So a lot of great topics and hopefully a lot of great discussion. So it's a great workshop in preparation for getting ready and planning those controlled burns that you do in the spring.
And that's going to, let me turn my mic up there. And that's again going to be on March 5th?
Yes, March 5th in Fredonia at the Old Iron Club from 11:30 to 3:30.
All right. So again, coming up on Thursday, March 5th. Also, you were wanting to talk about an Animal Health Night.
Yes. So Animal Health Night is my understanding that this is an annual event that's held every year. So this will be my first year to go. And it will be March 2nd at 5 p.m. at the Civic Center in Independence, Kansas. So there'll be a trade show, industry talks, dinner, and door prizes. And this one is no cost to attend. I should have mentioned for the burn workshop, it is also no cost to attend. But we do ask that if possible, you RSVP by March 2nd to help us plan for the meal. And to RSVP for the burn workshop, or if you have any questions about the burn workshop or Animal Health Night, you can call the Independence office at 620-331-2690.
So those are two good workshops coming up pretty soon on March 5th, and the Animal Health Night is
Animal Health Night is March 2nd.
Okay, so coming up on the 2nd and 5th, so be sure to RSVP. That way they can plan better for the dinner that night. And we're going to go over to James here for a moment. And James, a few events going on with you, but one of the things you're wanting to talk about is the Farms Conference, and I've been hearing about this one on Dell Helwig's on his report, but you can expand on a little bit though as well, because this is a huge thing that's happening.
Yes, so I'm sure Dale explained it very well. Basically, the Farms Conference is a connection between the Polymer Research Center in Pittsburgh, Virginia Tech, Kansas State Extension, and the area farmers. And basically, we're all going to come together and talk about issues in farming. What this is geared towards is creating sort of a collaborative effort where we'll come up with ideas and issues within the farming community and solutions to solve those problems using polymer research. Basically creating components that go together to fit things, materials and science, and just coming up with solutions for issues. We are oddly lucky to have the Polymer Research Center so close, because there's not very many of these around the country. I'm talking less than a handful of these micro metals, or these macro science polymers around the country. And so for them to bring in everybody and to actually have a conference where they're wanting to listen to people and see what their issues are, it's a truly unique opportunity that we have here. It's unlikely that we're going to get something like this any time after this.
Right.
And there's, as far as I know, I've never heard of any other one of these around the country. So if a producer is interested in joining us and, you know, just describing the things that you think would be a great idea, the best way, you can either, of course, you can call one of the offices. You can go to pittstate.edu/farms, and that's where you can register. This is a free event. The part that involves farmers, that will be on February the 27th, and we'll have this big conference, and of course there'll be some, you know, some food there as well. it's a really great time for farmers and for researchers to come together for solutions. This is truly unique. And so, as Dale, I'm sure, explained, it's exceptional.
And it's a great job, K-State and Pitt State working together on this. So, and like you said, there's not very many of these polymer places around the country, like you said, only a handful. So again, this is very, very huge for the area. And to have it so close, that's the nice part as well. So
The Tim Dawsey, who's the director of the Polymer Research Center, he's got grand ideas, you know, how this is going to end up. So I'm excited about it. It should be fun.
So it's going to be a great conference coming up, the Farms Conference. And again, the one that concerns farmers the most, though, that you said, is on February 27th, though, correct?
Yes, okay, yes. So the part for the farmers.
Yeah, so that'll be next Thursday. So be sure to head on over there. And where's it going to be at again? It's going to be at Pitt State?
Yeah, it'll be at the Polymer Research Center.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And so farmers who come, I would assume that Tim Dawsey is going to actually show us around and show us the Polymer Research Center. It's pretty cool. They got some cool stuff
in there.
It's so
cool to see. Yeah.
It's cool. So again, that is coming up on the 27th. So be sure to go to that. And then there's a few other things you wanted to talk about, James.
Yeah. So besides that, we have the Tame Grass Stalker Field Day on February the 20th. I'm sure Wendy has talked about this. And it's, you know, registrations at 9:30, and I'll go on during the day. They got Dale Blasey, Dale Helwig, Grant Hanselcheck. There's a whole bunch of well-known names are going to be at this. This kind of rotates around the area, so, you know, we're lucky to have this one in the Wildcat District, or between the districts this time in Greenbush. So, I mean, this is going to be a big day. A lot of education thrown at people in this one. February the 20th, 9:30, Greenbush. There's a $10 registration fee, but, you know, give us a call if you're interested in joining.
And Greenbush is that area just outside of Girard, correct?
Yeah,
Like where the planetarium is.
Exactly. So, So, where the planetarium is. So greenhouses and all that. Yes.
So again, head on out there for that. And then something else you wanted to talk about. You said several things you want to talk about. One of them, nitrogen, but also some other things you wanted to talk about.
So the last program is a tile drainage workshop, and so I just yesterday got this set in stone that we're going to do this on March the 19th. We're going to start off the day with dicamba training. Every year, farmers have to do this. If they're wanting to put this onto their private applicator license, they have to do a special dicamba training to use the Extendamax and all the other soybeans involved with dicamba. So this will be on March the 19th. And then after that, we're going to do sort of a tile drainage part to it. Tile drainage is kind of becoming a big thing around here. Obviously, we have the right soils for it, heavy clay, not a whole lot of drainage.
Right.
It's been raining a lot, so there's been a lot more interest with tile drainage, but it's very expensive stuff to get into. And, you know, do the benefits outweigh the cost? There's a lot of questions here. So, We're gonna have a speaker come in from NRCS from Missouri, and he's gonna talk about this. Hopefully, we'll have a producer panel as well, and just kind of hash it out a little bit of what the aspect of tile drainage is.
I know about that clay soil altogether. Yeah. Stuff. It's clumpy and it does not dry very quickly. That is for sure. So that is the tile drainage, and that's gonna be on Thursday, March 19th. So be sure to do you need RSVP for that as well?
Yes. That will be a free event, but please RSVP. It will start at 10 o'clock. And of course, I'll have more details next time I come in.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So be sure to RSVP for that. For that, just so they know how many people are coming, so they can prepare correctly for that. So again, that'll be the tile drainage workshop, and of course, like I was saying before, that a few things you did want to discuss about nitrogen.
Yes, now is the time for nitrogen, or at least to be thinking about it. I mean, it's still a little cold outside, but it's going to be greening up pretty soon,
mm-hmm.
and so we need to get the nitrogen on right before or right during the green up time. So, and it doesn't matter whether it's a pasture, lawn, your wheat, I mean, whatever it is, it could probably use some nitrogen about now. So for wheat, really, most top dress applications are around 50 to 60 pounds. I mean, this point during the year, you really want to increase this by about 30 pounds if you're going to be grazing this. A lot of wheat around here is grazed. So if you're expecting some sort of green yield, you're going to need to increase the nitrogen amount because you're taking that off with the cattle. For the fescue pastures, the rate is around 80 to 100 pounds per year. And so the spring application anyway, it's about 2/3, 1/3 is the general amount. And so, you know, 60, 70 pounds in the year. If you're going to apply just nitrogen in the spring, which a lot of people do. They only do it in the spring and not in the fall. You want to put on your P and K as well. If you are going to put on your fall application, wait and put P and K on then. But it kind of depends on your fertility plan. For lawns, it's around 1 pound of nitrogen per 1,000 square feet. And of course, you put on some nitrogen on your lawn, there's going to be some more mowing. I mean, the grass grows.
Right.
Yeah, the grass is going pretty good. The dandelions will grow a little better, too. They all will.
Everything just jumps up.
Yeah. It's, yeah, the lawn's really like, oh, just a little bit of fertilizer goes a long way. So that's kind of up to you. But don't put extra nitrogen on your trees, though. If you fertilize your lawn, your trees, your bushes, all that, they're going to get plenty of nitrogen. I've seen people overdo it when it comes to trees. They think because they're a ginormous tree, they need a whole lot of nitrogen. That's not exactly how that works. It's not dependent upon scale.
Right, because it's still got the roots in the ground, so it's going to absorb through the roots, correct?
Yes, yeah. And I mean, they're not, you know, just because they're 1,000 times bigger doesn't mean they need 1,000 times more nitrogen.
Right.
So I've seen some trees really get hurt because they were over-applied. But for corn, actually, we're just about time to fertilize. Pre-fertilize for corn, you know, before the planting season at the beginning of April. But that number, there's a whole lot of calculations when it comes to corn, so I can't really, there's no general recommendation. There's a lot of things that go into it. So, you know, basically, now's the time to be thinking about it. Hopefully, eventually, it will dry out a little bit so
yeah.
we can actually get in there. I actually did have a couple of people call me about if they should apply on frozen soil. This is difficult to answer because the official recommendation by universities is that you should not apply fertilizer on frozen soils, especially urea, and now because it's just kind of sitting there on top. However, my recommendation is you just have to be very careful with what is happening after the frozen soil. Sometimes in Southeast Kansas, all we have is one moment of frozen soil and then rain and rain and rain and rain.
Mm-hmm.
So if frozen soil is the only time you're going to be able to spread fertilizer, then you need to make sure that frozen soil is going to thaw before the next rain or snow. Because if you have frozen soil and you get snow on top of that, all that fertilizer is going to be gone. It's going to be a catastrophe. So it is very important to watch the weather after the frozen soil if you're thinking about spreading it on there. That's not really an official recommendation, but just a general, sometimes it's the only choice that we have.
Right,
so we
right.
just have to be careful with it. Otherwise, you know, hopefully it will dry out soon towards the, it looks like it's supposed to rain again on Sunday.
And they're talking about snow next Wednesday.
Yeah.
So
yes.
not like a big snowstorm, but a little bit of snow.
Bit.
So yeah
it's. So. It's going to keep on coming, I'm afraid, but hopefully before the green up anyway, at some point in March, we'll be able to get this stuff on. So yeah, we'll see. But for the types of fertilizer, the main two types we have we have urea, and we have UAN. And these are the nitrogen fertilizers. Of course, MAP and DAP if you're doing some corn applications before, you know, pre-applications. But for just for the wheat, top dress and all that, and pastures, MAP and DAP, or I mean, urea and UAN. Urea, you know, is those little tiny white balls. You can actually mix controlled release urea with regular urea and kind of extend out the time period in which it's dissolving to kind of give a little more of a transition. Basically, so that way it's not all hitting at once, denitrifying, and doing all of this other thing, and so you're not getting all that nitrogen later.
Okay, well, we'll come back to that here in just a minute. We need to go ahead and take a break. You're listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF. And we are back here on the Mighty 690 KGGF with Greenside Up here on the Mighty 690. And we'll get to Davin here in just one moment. She's going to be talking about windbreaks and wildlife. But first, we want to talk about tractor safety program coming up.
Yes, yes. So but before the break, I forgot to mention that we'll have another program coming up.
Right.
Tractor safety. This is something that we'll do every year for it's to license 14 and 15 year olds so they can work off the family farm. If they work on the family farm, they don't really need this legislation or this certification, but it is actually part of Kansas law that if you're going to be working on a farm that is not your immediate family's and you're 14 and 15, you need to do this training. And what it is it's a day of safety, of farm safety. We talk about tractors and, you know, not getting caught in the PTO and all of that stuff. So this tractor safety will get kids certified. If you're not 14 or 15, or you're just want to learn about, you want your kids to learn about tractor safety, we take any kid can come and learn about safety stuff. This will be on April the 4th. It'll be in the Independence Extension Office there, the USDA Center. Of course, we're also going to go and look at some tractors and actually talk about stuff too. So the April the 4th, we'll start at early, 8 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday. So, you know, get your teenagers up, get them ready, send them our way. But then we'll probably get done around 2 to 3 o'clock.
Okay, so again, that is coming up later on. So, Davin, what you want to talk about today was windbreaks.
Yeah, so right now the Kansas Forest Service is doing their conservation tree planting program and the spring sales for this program where you can buy tree and shrub seedlings from them. And these trees and shrubs, they're wanting to use it in conservation planting, so as wildlife habitat, windbreaks, or educational and riparian plantings. So today we're going to talk a little bit about windbreaks and just how they can also function as wildlife habitat. So historically, windbreaks have been planted for a variety of reasons. Some were planted as landscaping by settlers who just missed the forests and trees of where they used to live. Others were planted as winter protection for homes and livestock, and a lot of windbreaks were also established to reduce wind erosion during the Dust Bowl. And like I mentioned before, also windbreaks can be wildlife habitat, which is sometimes an overlooked benefit of windbreaks. But windbreaks provide essential woody cover, especially in areas where there are no native woodlands for wildlife, because wildlife has three essential needs for survival: food, water, and cover. Cover being necessary for nesting, birthing, escape, and protection from the elements. And cover is one of the main things a windbreak can provide for wildlife. Well-designed windbreaks provide a variety of habitats and can create even travel corridors to link wooded areas together. Permanent homes for wildlife can be created when locating the plantings near a water source, such as a pond or a creek, so they don't have to travel very far to get water. And if the purpose is to protect a wide variety of wildlife, they recommend a multi-row planting consisting of evergreens, shrubs, and tall deciduous trees to provide permanent homes for many different types of wildlife. However, if you're wanting to attract upland game birds and have specific habitat for them, they recommend not planting tall deciduous trees, as these trees are ideal for hawks and owls to use as perches to look for prey, and that will deter the upland game birds. And also, you have a windbreak, but you may be wondering what if anything you could do with the area next to it to increase the wildlife habitat. And one thing you can do, depending on the size of area you have or what you're doing with the land, is you can also plant food plots next to the windbreak to provide a food source for the animals year-round.
So that's some good advice there. So again, planting windbreaks. Also, like you said, it's a basically a habitat for wildlife where they can be in and be basically be safe in there. It's kind of like their cover.
Yeah, so it can work as
like their shelter, you know?
Yeah, it can work as a dual purpose. It will be a windbreak and then also provide shelter for wildlife and increase wildlife habitat on your property.
And if anybody who is just now joining us, if they missed the first part of today's program, if you would like to, we can go back over the workshops that you guys, that is coming up pretty soon. Of course, David, you talked about the burn workshop and the animal health night.
Yeah, so the burn workshop will be Thursday, March 5th from 11 to 3:30 in Fredonia at the Wilson County Old Iron Club. We're hosting it in partnership with the Wilson County Conservation District. So it will start off with registration and lunch, and then we'll have a variety of topics we're going to be covering related to prescribed fire and planning a controlled burn, which is a common management practice, mainly for producers more in like the western part of Montgomery County and then in Wilson County. And springtime is when they're looking at doing those controlled burns, hopefully not until more the beginning of March. And burning allows for new grass to grow and making the pasture healthier and the grass more nutritious for the livestock that graze it. So some of the topics we'll be covering are prescribed fire planning, fire behavior. We'll mention a little bit about the different burn associations and how they could help producers buy equipment or just planning a controlled burn, and also conservation planning and prescribed fire, benefits to grazing of patch burning and growing season burns. The National Weather Service will also be there to talk about watching the weather when you're planning a controlled burn. And then the Wilson County Rural Fire Department is going to be talking about fire safety and procedure for burning. And then we'll also be talking about fire as a land management tool. And we'll finish up the day by having a panel discussion of landowners who are experienced with controlled burning, so it will kind of be a question and answer segment.
And that, again, that's coming up on March 5th. And then, of course, you have the animal, I think it's the 34th annual Animal Health Night coming up.
Yes, it is. It's the 34th annual Animal Health Night. We'll be at the Civic Center in Independence on March 2nd. It will start at 5 p.m. with a trade show. There will also be industry talks, dinner, and door prizes. Both of these workshops, there is no cost to attend. And for more information about either one of them, you can, of course, contact the Extension office.
And that is on Monday, March 2nd. So that's coming up pretty soon. And then, James, you have a couple of programs over there, including the big one that we've been talking about is the Farms Conference having to do with polymers.
Yes. Yeah. So the farm, like before the break, I was talking about the Farms Conference. And this is kind of a connection between Virginia Tech, Kansas State University, and Pitt State coming together to talk about ideas that we can think about for research for the Polymer Research Center. And basically we want to hear that the issues that farmers are having, and we'll come up with solutions, with ideas, with various materials to help with those issues, basically using agricultural products to solve agricultural issues. And so this farm conference is kind of a big deal. We're not going to have one like this around for a long time. This will be on February the 27th. And if you're interested, you can go to pittstate.edu/farms or call one of the extension offices if you're interested in joining us. Besides that, though, tomorrow, apparently, I was not looking at my calendar. Tomorrow is the Tame Grass Stalker Field Day. So it's, you know, there's still time to sign up or please come, even if you didn't sign up. But 9:30 is when this starts. We're going to be talking about You know, we're going to be talking about grass. We're going to be talking about cows and stalkers. So Dale Helbig will be in there from Cherokee County, Dale Blasey, John Richieson. I don't really know him very well, but Greg Hinzelsack, Paul Beck. These are all great big names in the cattle industry. So, you know, please come and learn about these, the stalkers in the grass and maintaining things.
And where will that be located at?
This will be at the Greenbush Education Center. So right outside Girard is the Greenbush Center. You got the observatory, you know, with the where they send the kids for the
right
for all the little part education stuff. So
observatory, you'll probably find me at the observatory too, because I'm just like, hey, I love space stuff.
Yeah,
so.
Every once in a while, I think once a month, the observatory actually has.
Yeah, they have an observatory night. Pretty cool that the kids absolutely love. I've taken my kids out there. They thought it was wild. So it really was a good time. So again, those are a few of the programs going on, and so you guys giving us great information. We really do appreciate having you guys in every week, and we will talk to you guys next week.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. All right. We're going to go ahead and take a break. When we come back, we'll have some open line. You're listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF.